We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made. We're crazy for Swayze. Then we'll talk about it. We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made. We're crazy for Swayze. Then we'll talk about it.
Point Break.
Yeah,
I knew that. And also this other one called Young Blood.
Then this other one called Young Blood that Jake just watched.
Oh, yeah.
That was Keanu's first movie.
Whoa.
So, like, as when he saw it, I was like, I gotta, what's your Keanu take on this film? He's just a young buck. He's just the goalie, you know?
But he's not the young blood.
Mm-mm.
That's Rob Lowe.
Robert Lowe is the young blood in that one.
Robert Lobert.
Is that, would you want him to be a Lobert?
Do you think he is robbing those lows yet, or what?
I don't know.
Do you think he's gotten our message?
I follow him on Instagram now. I can, like, send him a message if you want me to.
Have you robbed a low?
Yeah. Hey, Rob Lowe, have you robbed any lows recently? Let us know at SwayzePod@gmail.com. Yes, everyone. It's Swayze in time again.
Once more,
Josh. I'm Vince Troia. That's Josh Young. This is the Swayze Pod, Crazy for Swayze.
It's us.
We have some wonderful, wonderful guests with us. Right, Josh? Do you want to introduce our guests?
No, it's your job.
We have 2/3 of Forest Bakery, Joe Burke, and Kyle Szczynski. I practiced so hard.
You did great.
Kyle Szczynski.
No.
How do you say your last name?
Szczynski.
Kyle Szczynski are here. And we're going to be watching Keeping Mum.
Keeping Mum.
Josh, do you remember the first time we watched this film, how you felt about it?
I think I was like, I don't care for Mr. Bean, right?
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
But like, you gave it high marks because of the like Speedo or the G-string he's wearing.
I didn't tell the ladies that was in this movie.
Oh, I'm sorry for ruining it.
I'm a spoiler.
This is a fun one, right? We felt this would be fun for you because it is one of the most romantic comedies that we have that is Swayze proper, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fuck does that mean?
What do you mean?
You know what it means.
That it's fun.
You're we're women, so we need to watch romantic comedies.
I mean, Hancock's not my favorite.
Vince.
That's okay. I'll tick that box.
Well, Mr. Bean is in this, and he is this English pastor, right?
He's a vicar.
There we go. Yeah, and it's just the story of what happens in his household when a new nanny comes to live with them, right?
Okay.
Nanny? Yeah, and you know who this nanny is?
No.
It's Maggie Smith.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I forgot about her.
Yeah, we have a wonderful cast in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not many that I personally know, but this Kristen Scott Thomas, right? She was in Mission Impossible that we watched her in, right? Mm. I'm not sure who she was in Mission Impossible.
How many women are in that movie? Like two?
I think she may have been like Tom Cruise's love interest, right?
Yeah.
Well, she was also in The Darkest Hour, right? But they're going to be acting alongside Patrick Swayze, obviously.
Isn't she married to Liam Neeson or some shit?
No.
Who's married?
Kristen Scott Thomas is
married to. She died in a ski accident.
Yeah.
What is her name?
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Married? I don't know, but maybe I'm thinking of the wrong person.
I feel like he's just been mourning her death
for somebody.
Mm.
Kristen Scott Thomas's spouse was Francois Olivness, and they were divorced in 2005.
What kind of name is Olivness?
It's not how you say that name.
Come on.
But it's French, so I'm going to give him a pass.
How are you going to call him out like that, Joe?
Francois Olivness. Yeah. So.
You know he's sensitive about it.
Take that. But yeah, I don't know. This is a fun one. This is a goofy romp, right? I've got the DVD right here.
I'm already feeling pretty goofy about it, too.
You're feeling goofy, right?
Okay, so I guess my question
we're taking
is,
a look here.
Swayze and
he's like a golf instructor, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
We haven't told Kyle very much about this. I think Joe has a minimal of it. I'm not 100%.
I got no idea what's going on in this.
You got no idea?
It's like
okay.
It's going in blind.
It's like a family comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
But like when I described it to Mal, she's like, I don't know, that doesn't sound like a family comedy necessarily. I was like, it's about a family.
Is it like a Nanny McPhee vibe? Like, kind what's of. Up?
Yeah, well, okay. IMDb describes it as a pastor preoccupied with writing the perfect sermon fails to realize that his wife is having an affair and his children are up to no good. So, okay. You know, Rowan all Atkinson right. is just like...
You know how the teens are in England.
Inept.
According to this, his younger son is regularly being tortured by school bullies.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay.
And his daughter is starting to hang out with boys and stuff like that. So yeah, it's craziness in the Bean household, to say the least, right?
The old Bean house.
Right?
That's what I always call it.
There's twists and turns of plenty, but yes, this is a very much a fun film that I'm excited to share with the two of you. Josh?
And not me.
Well, you've already seen this. We already know what to expect. I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Do you think that there's anything else we should let everyone know about the film before we dive into such a thing?
No. No.
Okay. All right. Well, just as a refresher, because like I said...
Patrick Swayze's in it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he is. This was actually his 31st film, right? This came out after George and the Dragon, one of his worsts, and The Fox and the Hound 2, one that I could not watch again and be fine with.
Sure.
You know, I was fine with it, though.
It was fine. Yeah.
Like animated?
Wasn't Reba McEntire in it also?
Yeah, Reba was there.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, but that was an animated one. It was just a weird time in his life.
This is from 2005?
Yes, it was.
God, it looks so old-timey.
Yeah, it was released in 2005 in the UK, but 2006 here in the United States, right?
Yes.
And the director, Niall Johnson, he also did Mum's List and Ghost
this dude
of
loves
Grievance
Mums.
Lodge.
Sorry.
Yeah. He loves Mums.
Mums
he
like Mums.
He loves like his Mums.
Okay, but, like not his like, Mums. Not
but it's
the
like a double
now.
Entendre, right? No, it's like
this one.
Yeah, you're keeping quiet, but also like you're taking care of Mom.
Yeah,
right.
That's a double meaning. A double meaning.
It's kind of like art.
It's kind of like art. Yes, yes, yes. It is. Well, everyone, I think that's enough about that. I kind of want to watch it. How do you feel, Joe?
Oh, yeah. There's a weird suggestive picture that on the back of this DVD case that Kyle showed me here.
Yeah?
Very interested to see what the fuck's up with that.
Well, explain the photo, please.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze looks to be a golf instructor, as you've hinted, and he's... Mm-hmm. Really handling this woman's hips to
it looks like he's repositioning her.
Yeah, he's repositioning her hips on his dick.
I'm excited to see how you feel about that in the film because yes, he is a golf instructor. And yes, that is one of the things that we've touched on, the affair. So Swayze is, you know, kind of being the villain in this one. It will be something a little bit different than we've seen because, like, you know, his villainous aspects of Point Break are really extreme. And this is not so much. He's really relying on being the, you know, the foreign American golf pro. Like, look at me. I'm American.
He's so Swayze. I mean,
I can rope and ride. Oh, it's great. It's really fun writing. I'm excited to show it to you, like I said.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yes, we're watching my DVD copy again. And it's currently on Amazon. So if you're looking for it, that's where you find it. I think we found it on YouTube also. But
that seems unfair.
Dude, sometimes we get lucky and we get these like Swayzes just on YouTube. No problem. That's how we watched Tiger Warsaw the first time.
Terrible. It's not a good place to watch something.
Dude, I think I've watched that movie like
you
four
don't
or five
like
times.
8 million commercials.
God.
Dude,
seconds.
The commercials aren't that bad, Joe. You know.
It's not like Tubi.
Oh, yeah.
Where they play the same commercial for hours.
There's something about Tubi commercials, though, that really I'm like, Yeah, like J.G. Wentworth's going to start screaming in my face. This feels like nostalgic and comfortable versus a YouTube like, do you have erectile dysfunction?
That's a great point.
That's Hulu, you're right. First of all.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is Hulu. Yeah, great point. I was getting ahead of myself. I'm like, YouTube commercials we've been seeing recently haven't been horrible, but like Tubi's, oh man, those are relevant.
I love Tubi commercials.
That's what I'm saying. Feels like home.
They make watching free TV better, in my opinion. You know?
The commercials?
Yeah. It makes me feel a little nostalgic. So I'm sitting there watching my Beast Wars, stoned out of my mind.
It's bullshit, you know? To like be paying for Hulu and then get commercials.
It is bullshit. Yeah. Do the same thing now on fucking Peacock. You're not paying enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, pay more Hulu. Yeah.
Take more money, Daddy Disney.
Well, I bought this DVD so we don't have to watch a single fucking commercial unless we want to.
That's why I bought those Bret Michaels DVDs.
Dude,
I was getting so tired of the erectile dysfunction ads on Hulu.
That's just a great investment.
And all the prep ads. It's like, I'm trying to watch Bret Michaels. God, not trying to have a bunch of gay sex.
I'm not trying to provide.
That is what the commercial suggests, is that prep is only for gay men.
I mean, it's like regularly prescribed to gay men as like a preventative.
I know, but that's what the commercial suggests. I just don't mean to imply that that's the only people that it's for.
Yeah.
That's what the commercial suggests. Yeah. I'm just interpreting the commercial.
Yeah.
I know what commercial you're talking about. That commercial makes it sound like it's lots of fun to take. It makes it sound like it's a fucking party to take prep.
It makes it sound like how gay men used to fuck pre-HIV, which was just raw and frequent and anonymous.
With reckless abandon.
With reckless abandon. Not all gay men, but like, that was the vibe.
That was the stereotype.
Yeah, mm-hmm. God bless. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good for stereotypes, I guess. Let's watch this film, you guys. You ready?
Yes, DVDs rule. Get your physical media, people.
Yeah, get it before it gets written off for taxes. Fun. It was a fun little romp, wasn't it, Josh?
Romp.
Is romp the right word, Josh?
I would say so. It's a rompant through England.
Is romp the right word, Joe?
Sure.
Is romp the right word, Kyle?
Roller coaster is also a word for it.
This was a film.
A murderous romp.
What was your first impressions? How do you two feel, Joe, Kyle? Anything that stood out to you?
I wish that Swayze had better character development.
Okay. All
like
right.
Like, he just was there, and we like didn't know anything about anything.
He was really throwaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think, like I said before we started, he really just was laying into the fact that he was American and that they were in England.
And was a piece of shit.
That's all he was trying to work. He wasn't like playing up any like character development. He didn't have any special skills or anything like that outside of golf.
Golf pro.
Yeah, right?
Well, no. He did that little, I don't know, he like ripped his pants off pretty quick.
I think he was so excited to take those clothes off, dude.
Yeah.
He took the entire outfit off.
It was a skill.
Yes.
Being able to get naked that quick is a skill.
So, Okay, if you were in an interview situation, right? You're going in for a job and they're like, okay, off the books, what's your special skill? You would tell them, like, I can strip down very quickly.
That's what Patrick Swayze would tell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not my skill.
Well, what would your skill be?
My very special skill.
Can you kick really high?
I can do a somersault.
You can do a somersault.
I don't know. I haven't tried recently. I don't know. I just figured I probably could.
They're like, yeah, you and every 4-year-old, Josh. Congratulations. You've got the job.
I don't have a special skill right now. My special skill is being able to tell you about the Patrick Swayze movies.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like when we were younger, we used to have like skills, like things that we were good at? And then, like, now we don't really talk about that kind of stuff no more. Like,
I'm pretty good at Sonic Spinball.
Sonic Spinball?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never played Sonic Spinball before.
What gaming system.
Sega. Genesis. Yeah.
Genesis. I never heard of this game.
It's mad fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was the Echo the Dolphin gal.
Yeah?
Echo's
hell
sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I've never played Echo the Dolphin before.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're like Jones before he got all... you're like a telepathic dolphin.
Well, fuck yeah. Hell yeah, sounds sick. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like this movie was a fun idea for the two of you. How do you feel now having seen it, Joe?
I'm glad you like didn't tell me as much as you normally tell me about stuff. Like normally you like get a little bit too high and then you're like, and then this happens and then this happens and it's like this. And I'm like, cool, I guess I'll watch that now. But like I felt more surprised by this one than I normally do. So that was fun. I was like, I mean, like, you know me, like I can usually predict what's happening in a movie, but it was like, that was fun. I liked it.
It was a different kind of Swayze, right?
It was a different kind of, well, it's not really a Swayze movie. He's just like, he's just there, as we said.
Like, he's the villain, yeah.
Not even, he's just like.
Well, he's definitely a villain. He's just
an American fuckboy.
Yeah, he's just, he's a vehicle with through which the story moves, but he's not, I don't think he's one thing or the other. He's just there.
I mean, he's bad.
Yeah, like, yeah, he sucks ass, but like he's not
like in a normal way, like in a beyond normal way. It was extraordinary. We were all exclaiming while he was peeping.
We
on
were
that
disgusted
young girl.
With him. Yeah, so we were all disgusted. Yeah. You're right. We and were disgusted with him the whole time.
And as much as like you're disgusted with the idea of him being a pedophile and Donnie Darko, like it's very visceral in this movie. You know.
Well, yeah, when he's like oohing and aahing over a naked teenage girl in a window while he's videoing her. That's uncomfortable.
Saying, come to Uncle Lance or whatever he was saying. Yeah.
Well, it's like by setting up the shot through the camera, that's the way that the movie makes us complicit in his crimes as well. And that's why it makes us feel so icky, because it makes us feel like we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great observation, Josh.
I didn't feel like I was doing it. I was just grossed out by Patrick Swayze existing.
Well,
in his little metallic red man thong.
It's just like, how bad can the movie make you feel about it while they're obviously doing it as well? You know?
That's true.
Like, the movie is doing it. It's like, isn't this gross? Let's do it. Don't you want boobs in this movie? Didn't you come to this for boobs?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly why I came to this Maggie Smith movie. The boobs.
Well, it's like, what a 2005 moment. It's like, we have to show you boobs, but we certainly can't show you the middle-aged boobs that are like the main boobs of the movie. So we have to show you these
teen boobs.
These teen boobs.
You can imagine the middle-aged boobs. You know, she's wearing like that sheer top in the first scene where they go to bed.
They seemed like mighty fine boobs. Like
they,
I would have much.
They would be. They were the exact same as the teen girls.
And
boobs.
I would have felt much more comfortable seeing those boobs than the alleged underage boobs.
You know, I would like a graphic sex scene in this movie with Mr. Bean.
Me too. That would be awesome. Like, I want to see Mr. Bean clapping them cheeks. That's what I want to see out of this movie.
You want to see him get beaned?
I want to see her get beaned.
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, you know, like the you know, her, it would show both their wacky faces while they're beaning.
Yep. That's where I feel like they really. You know what?
I like this idea. Their wacky faces are saying, "Oh, Mr. Bean face. Oh, Mr. Bean face." Yes, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I think that Swayze in this movie is in a weird position, right? Mm-hmm. Because even though he is, in my opinion, the villain. We could remove Swayze and still have a pretty good movie, you know?
Yeah.
If that whole adultery thing wasn't happening and Rowan Atkinson was just like a bumbling father that wasn't paying attention, I still feel like we could keep it pretty much the same and it would work well.
The Swayze stuff felt pretty mean-spirited, you know? Like him going up to Mr. Bean and being like, so I'm fucking your wife. I mean, like we're playing golf.
It didn't really get me on board with Maggie Smith just fucking killing people. I was like, yeah, I mean, fuck that guy.
It's hilarious we haven't really even touched on the fact that it was like a murder film.
Maggie Smith was a serial killer. Yeah. Incredible. She can really do it all.
She can. She does it creepy. She does creepy good.
Yeah, she did creepy great.
Yeah,
yeah.
She killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And them.
And them. How many people did she kill in this movie? Like, wasn't it like
the dog was a mummy?
The dog was unnecessary kill.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she could have just rehomed the dog.
Yeah, it was just the neighbor and the other neighbor and Swayze, so three.
Just she didn't actually kill the other neighbor.
Oh yeah, she didn't. She just died, right?
Yeah, it was just kind of like an accidental death. But then also the bodies in the beginning were
I forgot about those. So yes,
throughout the course of the film, four folks
and one animal.
And then the daughter.
Then she killed the two additionals,
kills
right?
The additionals at the end. Yeah.
Right? Algae guys.
Yeah, the algae boys.
Algae.
Old algae bros.
Which makes me want.
Blue algae, no good.
Want to ask, okay, right? They said that they had to remove the algae, right? Mm-hmm. But then they just keep throwing more bodies in there.
They're going to poison the water table.
They're going to poison the water table.
They're going to fuck up the water for the entire town of 57. 55. 50, yeah, 55.
Yeah. 55 of them, yeah.
Everyone's like, we'll just install some reverse osmosis in our homes. That's what we're going to have to do.
Should be fine.
It'll be fine.
Is this like a Ghostbusters where they're like, fuck the EPA?
I mean, this movie's kind of like, fuck a lot of things that make sense. You know, like fuck asking questions about God, you know? God's mysterious.
Deal with it. Yeah. I don't know. I think that the murder aspect of this was something that they kind of like kept real quiet in the promotion, right? Mm-hmm. And then when it starts off right away with a leaking suitcase, like, oh, it took me by surprise. I thought it was like legitimate. Like I was joking around, like, oh yeah, like somebody had jam or something like in there, and was like, no, it's been leaking out.
Dead eyes, man. I was like, that bitch just killed her husband. That's a face of pure freedom. Like,
I'm gonna get on this fucking train. I'm gonna take it all the way to America.
That's how trains work.
She was ready to start a new life. She was fucking about it.
So the family, right?
Sure.
We had Mr. Bean. We had Mrs. Bean.
Gloria.
Son Bean.
Yeah.
Bean son.
We had Bean boy, PT. And we had Bean girl, Holly, right?
Okay.
PT.
Where was he the whole time?
Fucking latter half of the film completely removed.
Yes.
Well, because it became a movie about women at that point.
It was.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like his whole storyline in the film was that he was getting bullied. Mm-hmm. So then Maggie Smith cuts the brakes on all of his bullies' bikes, and then they watch them ride down a hill and they laugh in glee.
As these kids eat shit.
Yeah, all over.
Going over the side of effectively a cliff and losing consciousness.
They're just cackling with joy.
And he's like, oh, they're dead. That brings him the greatest joy of all.
He was so happy about it. Yeah, so this kid, he witnesses
it's in
his this.
Blood.
This
it is, yeah.
This, oh my God.
He gets a taste of bloodlust.
Yeah.
And he goes on a murder spree after that. But yeah. He just, like you said, he disappears after that scene and doesn't show up until the very end when we're having the, like, 6 months later, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
we can only imagine that he's, like, building elaborate saw traps out in the woods or something.
And saying the word broccoli to activate them.
Yeah, because he believes in magic.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like a Harry Potter type.
He's Harry Potter. He's just out there just doing magic in the woods, murdering stuff.
Too old for that, let's be honest.
And then Holly, right? She seems to be a typical teenager in the beginning, but then she takes a hard right turn into baking and gets into cooking later on, you know? And I felt like that was the most character development we had over the entire film. Where she's like, no, I found a hobby. I feel better. Like, I'm connecting with my family. I'm learning stuff. Like, she seems to be the most developed character at the end.
She grew up in a village, the daughter of a vicar. The village was 55 people. The only thing she knew how to occupy herself with was dick. Like, that was it. That's the only way she knew how to keep herself busy. And she's like, oh, I can make cakes too. Cool, 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 cool.
That's also a nice time.
Yeah, like, hell yeah, Holly.
Yeah, baking cakes is a nice time, I guess.
I liked that she was cooking in Grodd or whatever. Grog? What was his name?
The goth one?
Yeah, the goth one.
I love that they've got 57 people in town. One of them's goth.
Grant.
Grant.
It's the, like one.
Or if you, if Grogory for
2% of the population.
For those in the know.
Is goth. And it's one kid.
I just, that scene was so much fun because like.
It's 2005, that seems right.
What was she making for him?
Well, it was immediately before Mr. Bean is just like, I'm not funny. I need to figure out how to like liven up my sermons, right? So Maggie Smith suggests that he goes online. So he searches religious jokes on MSN search or whatever the fuck it was. And he comes along with joking with Jesus. And
giggling with God.
Giggling with God. Yeah. And he starts like practicing these jokes and like working them out. And
it's working for him.
Yeah, he's practicing his material on this poor goth boy. That he's just like chilling when like Holly's making dinner and like he's just hanging out and he's just like laughing at Holly. Oh, it was great.
It was very silly.
The jokes were fun.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
What was fine. It? It was an Englishman, an Irishman, a Scotsman, a vicar, a pastor, and a rabbi walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "What is this, a joke?" Dude, that was hilarious.
That's a meta joke.
It was very meta.
Was it? It wasn't.
It was so meta.
It's not funny, though.
I thought it was hilarious.
The other vicars thought that he was very funny. Okay, so Joe, explain to me what the vicar situation is. Like, he's a reverend?
Yeah, they're all reverends, right? So you have to, like, complete a specific amount of schooling to become a reverend in the Anglican church. But like the nickname for reverend, as in like father for priest, is vicar.
Why?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I'm not English.
So why the fuck do you know so much about all this other shit?
I live there, bro. Like I know enough.
Okay. So he's like in charge of his community or what?
Well, you're a community leader because it's like your parish, right? So it's same with the Catholic church, how you'd have like a parish. It's the same word. Like essentially, literally, the Anglican Church was just like, "Hey, we want to be. We're really into Catholicism because it's the only type of Christianity, but we don't really know what else to do with it. So we're gonna make Catholicism that looks this much different, and it's the same thing. It's all the same thing. So
they just don't have the Pope. They have the King.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Because of
that
Henry
makes
VIII.
Sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but like. Yeah,
so he's like a
they have like
leader,
yeah,
though.
He's like everyone typically in your parish area would go to your Anglican church. Like that would be like
except for your wife.
Except for your wife, yeah, she's like
because she's sleeping in.
I don't give a fuck. I want to take a nap.
She's depressed.
Well,
yes, yeah,
yeah.
You'd be too married to that fucking bumbling idiot who doesn't even bone.
He doesn't even bone
or bean
or bean.
Doesn't even bean.
He neither beans nor bones.
Yeah, you said the town had, what, 57 people?
Well, until she killed two.
Until she killed two, so 55 people. Yeah, I would assume that he would be, like, a community leader. Like, if they had, like, a town hall meeting, he'd be sitting up there on the stage because he is the priest or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
The religious
seems
head.
Like he's a fucking idiot, though, and everyone likes to make fun of him, so that sounds fun. Like, you have a guy who's in charge of your community, and you're like, fuck him, he's a nerd, look at him.
But yeah, they're like.
He shouldn't goalie anymore for anyone.
That man is not a sportsman, certainly.
He's got an athletic build.
Yeah, according to Maggie Smith.
Says who? Yeah.
Who has a slightly skewed view of reality. Yes, sure.
She seems like she's got it right to me.
Yeah.
She like almost
you're like,
decimated.
That's a man's body right there.
She almost decimated this town, though. She killed two people, and another person died. That's over 5% of the population.
Yeah. No, you're right. When you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that Mrs. Parker died.
Yeah.
I thought she, like, was shocked into, like, unconsciousness.
No, she was shocked into death.
You thought she was a possum?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought she was so startled that she passed out when she saw that frying pan raised above Maggie Smith's head.
I don't think that's the case.
You don't think it's the case?
Nope.
That's fine.
I think she died.
That's fine. Yeah, no, they talk about her dying funeral. Immediately after, so yeah, 100%. Did you have a favorite outfit?
Fashion corner.
Yeah, we haven't gone to fashion corner.
Brassiere over the shoulder.
Ooh,
that's
yes.
just the only thing you remember. remember.
Yeah, all right.
Well, no, I mean, I was actually thinking about nudity, but the brassiere over the shoulder is a hint of nudity.
Mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just a funny word. I think they call them bras now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do believe.
I liked the Lance pants. Those plaid pants he had on during the golf lesson.
I thought you were talking about his thong, and I was like, whatever, dude.
All right. The thong
sold for so cheap.
All right.
Did you find the listing?
Yes. So when we initially looked up, you know, all the information for this, we found that a lot of Patrick Swayze's personal items from his films and stuff like that had been auctioned off.
Sure.
You know, as they do.
Recently, and, though, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
The thong he wore in this movie, because there were two, sold for $300.
That's nothing. That's not a lot.
Not at all.
You would think.
Would you pay more than that?
I don't think I would even pay that much for
it. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not interested in that.
Interesting.
But it's like he had, in the same kind of auction, you could get personal items like masks and
his wallet.
You could
his
get
ID.
The leather jacket he wore in Dirty Dancing and stuff like that.
That's sick.
There were lots of really cool items in there. But yeah, his thongs from this movie were in there too.
Yeah, like 55-year-old Patrick Swayze ass crack sweat is like not for most people.
Which one is one of those dresses, though. He had some of those like classic Hollywood dresses. Those were good, worth good money, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what all he had.
Hollywood dresses?
I don't know. Like he had like a Marilyn Monroe dress. He had Bette Midler dresses or something.
He had like memorabilia of his own from other folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that they recommend that you do that to diversify your investments. But when you die and it gets sold at an auction, it's not worth anything.
No, it's just by art, man.
So that shit got severely depreciated in value. But he probably wore those dresses.
I would assume at least thought about it.
You got to do a photo shoot.
Yeah, you're right.
He did it.
Dying from cancer, you're like, I better use these dresses.
Better put this Marilyn Monroe dress on.
Yeah, I need to.
Better throw this ball. So I can wear this ball gown. That's what I would do.
We didn't have many locations in this movie, did we?
The
it
fuck
was
shack.
The village.
Yeah, just the village. Yeah,
because even
the
though,
fuck shack, yeah.
What's it called? Walter went to that that conference. We didn't see a road trip or anything like that. Yeah. We just stayed right there. And then like once we got to that conference, it was only that room with all the other priests
or
all the other vicars. Yeah. So like
priests, vicars, I think the same.
But yeah, it was all right there. We didn't go outside of the village at all, right?
Right.
Do you think that works better for the story, or do you think we should have moved out and like stretched our legs a little bit more, saw some characters in some different locations doing different stuff?
I think it worked for it because the whole nature of the movie was like, who do we have to kill next to keep the shit quiet?
Keeping mom.
Yeah, I think it needs to stay in the town to make it feel like claustrophobic, because it should.
Yeah. Okay.
They live in a small town.
There's only so many people there.
That's a good point.
I think it was funny that Mrs. Bean was like, no, we can't go to the hotel because everyone knows me. I'm Mrs. Bean.
Yeah, would she say she'd have to go like a day and a half away?
She's like, we'd have to go half a day's drive.
Half a day's drive. Yeah. Wearing.
I don't think that's true. I think she has an overinflated sense of self.
Yeah, she just drives to the next town where there's another vicar and another vicar's wife. Like, it's fine.
Hey, aren't you the vicar's wife? No. Fuck no. What the fuck is a vicar? That sounds like a cuss word. Don't say that.
Kyle, how did you feel about the twist at the end when they revealed that Maggie Smith was Mrs. Bean's mom.
Mrs. Bean in law.
Mrs. Bean in law. Yes.
I gasped for sure. I feel like I was so caught up in the murders and like the immediate drama that I had forgotten about the bloody trunk and
she
was pregnant, went to jail, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there were hints because when she met the daughter, she was like, you get that from your dad's side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Normally, I'm pretty good about picking up on that shit. It also went right over my head for this.
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Good call. I didn't miss all that shit.
Because I was like, what? You, She's short? I didn't notice.
Yeah, I was just like, all right.
I guess I just assumed, like, she knew the mom side of the family from, like, the village or something.
For
like,
sure. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, she's the village. The last person who killed somebody in their village.
I was just like, Maggie Smith's a murderer. Buckle the fuck up. And then, like, everything else outside of that went past me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I asked specifically because, like, you guys seemed to be, like, calling and, like, accurate predictions and stuff like that. The entire film, all your observations, like, oh, Swayze's being a piece of shit. I bet he's going to be like, yes, you were nailing it. And then we got there, and we were all surprised because I even forgot about it. Let's be fucking honest here.
Because they front-load the Mr. Bean story. Yeah. They're like, Mr. Bean's got to fuck his wife. Yeah. And then once he fucks his wife, her basic needs have been met. And now she's like, what is beyond this? Oh, my mom.
Yes, her general existential crisis as an orphan.
Yeah, it's
like resurfaces.
Right, then there's going to be like more third act shenanigans. It's like, oh, the third act only begins when they fuck.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that when we start the movie, we're kind of like positioning fucking Rowan Atkinson as the main character, right? Mm-hmm. Like Walter, like as the priest, like, oh, we're going to follow this guy. But then very quickly, Gloria becomes the main character.
Yeah.
And then it really is her story the entire time.
And the third act is all female, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not a bad layout.
No.
Get all that bullshit, fuck your wife stuff out of the way so that we can get onto the real meat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, legit. Honestly, that was what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the story of how Gloria could potentially become a more complete woman. Right, she's made some relationships like grow and progress. She's formed some new ones.
She loves killing.
She committed her first few murders.
She found a hobby.
Yeah,
Now she's like the perfect vicar's wife. She's just ready to like pour tea, have little chit chats.
Yeah,
and just off here, people when they piss her off.
Yeah, she's like the flower committee. Bye.
I just don't understand why they can't, like, what responsibilities are there for the flower committee aside from meeting with that annoying old lady all the time?
Like, think, when are they?
Well, there was going to be a coup, flowering? Initially.
So,
I was thinking just funerals and, like, births and stuff, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing, I think, is they do the flower arrangements for that kind of shit, and there's usually, like, some kind of, like, spring festival or harvest festival. They, like, arrange. It's more of an old lady social club. So it's just kind of like an old lady social club.
I just don't understand why she was trying to involve him. Like, I thought she was trying to get to his wife. She was like, hey, where's your wife at? And then when the wife was there, she was like, I just want to talk to the man. Like, what's that about?
I would assume, like, normally her role as, like, the vicar's wife would be to participate in that kind of shit.
Yeah, and that old lady should be pressuring her to do that, in my opinion.
I mean,
that's her job.
That's the old lady's job.
The old lady's whole shtick. Yeah, but like, I don't know. And then she just really wanted to vent about that one bitch who at her funeral.
I just don't understand why it was Mr. Bean's problem.
Was ready to rock up. Cause I don't know, man. His wife wasn't there to like corral the situation. I'm not sure.
I just don't understand. Like, couldn't either of the ladies of the house take it over the situation from him? Like, why does he give a fuck about the flower arranging committee? He has other stuff to do. And the old lady knows that.
I think he wanted to, like, involve himself. That was kind of, I think it was a way to show that he was easily involved in everyone's life.
Surely.
And that he was, like, willing to put the petty bullshit of the village ahead of his family's needs, including fucking his wife.
Well, because he doesn't want to get...
And having boundaries. Like, he's like, let's talk about it next week instead of
being
that, like, little bitch boy.
Dick on the table.
Yeah.
Up? Yeah.
Dick on the table. I don't give a fuck about your flower committee.
I'll talk to you next week. Yeah.
I was going to say that exact thing. Like, it felt as if he was just kept pushing it down the road for like, he wanted to be involved, but then it's like, I don't really want to be that involved. I got to go do other stuff.
Mm-hmm. If you push stuff off a week, it'll never get done. Yeah. Especially if you do it twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've done that before.
It's called your Texas.
It's called most things in my life.
Wait, hold on. You don't have much more time for... Today's tax day.
He did it. It's done.
I did it. It's done. I got it taken care of yesterday.
You didn't do it?
No.
Okay.
Jeez.
What about our gal, that accountant gal?
plug. If, by the time you're listening to this, you should have done your taxes a month ago. Jeez.
Jeez Louise. Well, did anyone have a favorite character in this film? Did we have characters that stood out at all? Like
Grog.
I was going to say my Grog for sure. Yep. Groggery.
Groggery is the
Groggery.
Oh, hail Groggery.
Yeah.
Boyfriend. His eyeliner. Is that boyfriend three?
Yeah, goth boyfriend three. Yeah.
Well, the goth boyfriend slash boyfriend
three. Goth three, yeah.
Goth boyfriend.
If there were three goths in this town, that'd be fucked up.
If there were three goths in this town, I would be worried about like a Shaun of the Dead scenario. Like,
but
there
it's
was
also 2005. Like, that's the right time for there to be three goths.
Yeah,
you're that town. Right.
That's like true. Heavy goth time.
That's right when him and like CKY was around. Yeah, no.
UFO pants abound.
Like, that's what I think goths
everywhere.
Are
UFO pants.
Yeah,
and The Cure.
And the Cure, and CKY.
And CKY, yeah.
CKY.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's what I think goths are.
And the Crow. Crow!
Crow? Yeah.
Okay, how about Boyfriend 4, though? He was different than all the other ones.
Wait, who was Boyfriend 4?
I thought he was the same boyfriend as Boyfriend 1, honestly. I thought he was the same dude.
I don't remember Boyfriend 4.
He was the boyfriend at the end.
Oh, the one with the goatee?
Yeah, that was the same boyfriend as Boyfriend 1.
Oh, the one in the van.
Or the one carrying the case.
See, I didn't think the guy with the case had a goatee or anything.
He did.
Was that the one from the van, though?
No.
No, that was a different guy. You're right. Boyfriend 2 is the same as Boyfriend 4.
Dang. Yeah, I thought that was Boyfriend 1. What do I know, though?
I mean, God bless. God bless everyone.
God bless.
And admittedly, we only saw his face for what? 2 seconds?
Not even.
That's
why
I assumed.
If that, and then we never see him again. I don't remember what he looks like.
Honestly, in the same frame, there were tits, so I did not look at the face
of the man.
Of the man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, that's part of the that's part of the joy of filmmaking. You can use tits to distract from anything.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the joy of tits, Josh. Yeah. You can distract anything.
I wonder.
Yes, that is the joy of tits. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
They don't have any of the. Okay. We have Mark was boyfriend one.
Oh, they number him. Thank God.
David was boyfriend two. Uh-huh.
Okay.
His name was Jack Ryan in real life.
What? Jack Ryan?
Jack Ryan in real life. Grant.
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 Grant the goth. Boyfriend 3.
Oh, he's actually listed as Grant the God.
Yeah. But Jeremy Z is Boyfriend 4.
Oh, so Boyfriend 2 is not the same as Boyfriend 4, but there is a goatee denominator between 2 and 4. So what? The fraction is one half. I don't know. How's this work? What's half?
Why did Jeremy need a last initial? There's no other Jeremy in the fucking movie.
Why did Grog need a fucking title?
Jeremy Z.
Jeremy Z. Grant the God. Our Lord Grog.
Did you have a favorite character, Vince?
I think Grant the God. Maybe, man.
Oh my God.
He's the best.
Can you find more movies that he's been in, please?
I can look to see what else Grant the God has been in. So we are seeing him in 7 other titles, right?
Oh, that's not enough.
Before this, he did an episode of a TV show called Ultimate Force where he played a geek. And then after this, he did 2 episodes in a TV show called Casualty where he played Vincent and Elias Rowe. Right?
Ooh.
He did a short called Dystopolis. He did this other video called Project Film Noir, The Fucking Shavs. Something called
Chavs. Yeah. It's white trash. That's what that means.
And Heartless is a short film where he plays Frank Marks, and that came out last year.
Well, good on you, Grant the
Goth. He had an 11-year gap, though, in his IMDb.
He probably went to goth school and learned how to be a better goth.
Maybe. Who knows?
Extra straight edge.
Yeah, there's no photos or anything like that of him on his thing, so don't know what he's doing. But Nazim Korlig, I hope you're doing great.
Nazim Korlig.
Yep.
No, I think he nailed it. I just like to repeat it back sometimes so everyone can hear.
That's exactly his name.
Let me me so much.
Can you say it?
Nazim Korgli.
That's exactly what I said. It sounded exactly the same to me.
I love you so much.
He's so good at reading.
Sounded the same.
Especially names. Names is your best.
Names is his absolute finest.
This sounds the exact same to me. Well, I don't know what else is there to say about this movie. It's a silly, fun time. I enjoyed it. Did you guys enjoy it?
I had a great time.
Did you enjoy it, Kyle?
I did. I really did.
What is there more to say about it? It was enjoyable, but I think we ruined it for anyone who's listening.
Oh, yeah. No. Spoiler alerts. A lot. So
maybe I'll put in a little edit earlier on that we'll have already played that warned people that they should actually probably watch the movie for once.
Because we talk about everything.
See,
barely.
I just it's such a weird one as like a sleeper sways, right?
Yeah,
because everybody's seen the Dirty Dancing and like Red Dawn, like the popular ones are everyone brings up, and you're like Keeping Mum, and they're like, okay, you're like, well, it's got Maggie Smith and Mr. Bean in it, and it's like, what the fuck does that mean? And then they watch this movie, and there's soccer and multiple murders and a priest convention. Like, what the fuck? Swayze is a golf pro? Who the fuck wrote this? But they did. And it's just so weird. And it's like, I don't know. Like, when I was like, I think it was perfect for you guys because I think you would like it. Like, described it as a romantic comedy. I didn't know what else to say. Like, what else? What is this movie?
It really threw me off the scent, if I can be completely 100%. Honest.
100%. Oh my God, 100%, dude.
Yeah, like, what is it?
I had no idea what was coming my way.
It's a family comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
You think it's about the Mrs. Bean, but it's actually about her mom.
Her mom.
Would you ever think?
I would now.
I would, yeah. I got the answers now, but I did not have the answers before.
Yeah, it's just like, it is a misdirect, and I like that. It makes it feel like a mystery, but it's not.
Yeah, calling it a romantic comedy is, it really, really hollows it out.
I think it's a family comedy.
I think yeah. It's a dark comedy.
A dark comedy, yes. At least we can all agree that it's funny.
It was funny. It was a comedy all the same.
Yeah. The IMDb has it in the categories of crime and comedy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Crime comedy.
Crime comedy.
A cromedy.
A cromedy, if you will. A cromedy, if you will.
Hearty good, handshake between good Joe and Kyle.
Job.
Well, Josh, my business was complete.
I think we've reached the part of the show where we put some numbers on it. Do you want to start us off?
You know, I'm so decisive. I didn't do it on the letterbox beforehand. So I'm off the cuff here. I think, you know, I liked it. It's a cromedy or whatever. He said a cromedy.
Cromedy.
It's a cromedy. I mean, it's British. It's all Get Out, right? I mean, like, the whole thing is, like, it's not proper to do this and that. That's Maggie Smith's whole thing. It's not proper. That's not how you're supposed to. And her daughter is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you need to get fucking railed, my sweet daughter. But out in a van where the fucking guys from the water board can see you?
And Mrs. Parker or whatever? Yeah. That's what it says. That was her big argument. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just indecent. And it's like, well, I mean, she's right. You know? I mean, she is being kind of a jerk about it. Like, she doesn't need to see her daughter's naked body in order to shame her. But, anyways, the movie has weird values. It's super British. I like it. 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Wowie. All
right. I just enjoyed myself. I thought it was funny.
Did you have a thing that really really stood out this time as opposed to last time, Josh? Something that felt new to you?
Yeah, the son being a fucking psycho was pretty new.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, I didn't like realize his joy that he takes in them being dead. That's funny.
Maniac. And the fact that they like have a slight conversation afterwards, and Maggie Smith is like, don't tell him that he's not actually dead. Yeah, he's so happy about it. He loved it so much.
And they do look like zombies at school later on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like they've lost their zest of life.
Yeah. That glint in their eye is gone.
Which was terrifying, this young man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so pleased with himself. He's like, ha, 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 I magicked them to death.
Yeah.
And I brought them back. Broccoli. What's the opposite of broccoli?
What? Yeah, okay. That was his magic word, broccoli. Mm-hmm. What is that?
No, I think it was probably something they had filmed earlier and then cut from the actual movie. Like, I think that's what happened. It's like they probably explained it somewhere in the movie ahead of time, and then they just cut that part. And they were like, "You'll fill it in. You're smart enough to figure it out when you're watching this."
Wow. Mm.
I didn't know if, like, here we say abracadabra, and in no, England they say broccoli.
No, they say, whatever they say in Harry Potter.
They also They also say abracadabra because there's a kebab chain called Abracababra, which is, I think, the funniest shit on the planet Earth.
They do kind of pronounce it like that, too. Kebab.
Yeah, kebab, yeah. But yeah, anyway.
Hello, Amora.
So yeah, abracababra. The kids died. Moving on.
Abracababra. Well, Joe, let's have you put some numbers on it. How do you feel about this film?
For a comedy, I would say 5 out of 5. For just a standard movie,
a comedy,
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
I enjoyed myself thoroughly.
So. Is there a part where you would change to improve?
No, because they made Patrick Swayze such a creep. Like, they made that character such a creep. Like, I would say, like, change that. It upset me. But, like, I was so happy when he died that, no, don't change it. I was so stoked when he Maggie Smith was like, not today, bitch.
He was so orange. I would change that.
He was so orange, dude. Ooh, yeah. But, like, real would leathery. You? Because, like, real 2005. Like, they really gave us 2005 in that.
I know, they gave it.
They did.
He was the only guy who had ever watched
Affliction.
TV.
Affliction shirt.
Oh, yeah. He had that. Oh, yeah. It looked like Zach Bagans would wear it from fucking Ghost Adventures.
No, he was dressed like Bret Michaels down to the underwear.
Yes, he really crazy. Was.
Yes. Yes. And this was even before fucking Powder Blue also.
This is before Velvet Larry.
Yeah. This is his slow progression to Bret Michaels.
Incredible.
100%.
Wow. Good stuff.
So, no, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Good. I'm not going to change anything. I think it was fun.
Good.
More. You know what? If anything, more murder. I want more murder.
More. Mm.
Who else needed dead?
Who else needed dead?
They literally killed off everyone.
They took care of the real problematic folks for sure. But like maybe some of them cops in the beginning, that'd been fun. If Maggie Smith went back and murdered some of them cops, that'd be sick. That'd be about that life. 13-12 on those fucks.
Yeah, like she's a Nazi hunter, but she's like they're just regular Bobbies.
Yeah.
From the 1960s.
Yeah.
So, okay. While we were watching this, I think Kyle brought up the fact that what was she doing before she got to this family? Like, was she going from town to town killing people, right?
She was in jail.
She was just in jail and she just came out.
Well, because during the news segment that watched, they were like talking about her doctors and like what they recommended. I think she was in there like most of the time.
Yeah. They were like, "Oh, she's been rehabilitated," they're saying on TV, but that's a lie. Rehabilitation's impossible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we had talked about it before we got to that part of the movie. But yeah, I was confused because I was like, "Oh yeah, maybe she was going from town to town, just being like,
totally,
well, just you know, it's a Batman and all over the place."
That's what she's gonna be doing. That's what happens after the movie's over.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she American Psycho Nanny McPhee'd her way across England. I don't know. Like, that's what I hope. That's what I hope for that story. But you're right. It does seem like mostly.
But it seems like the tabloids are keeping an eye on her
the whole time.
Why wasn't somebody like stalking her, trying to get photos of her doing all that stuff? Maybe somebody was keeping mom out of jail.
Keeping mom out of jail.
Kyle, if you had to put a number on this movie, what would you give it?
What am I basing it off of?
I really want you to have the freedom to express yourself the way you want. We've been doing out of fives.
For reference, I gave something medium fairy once. Yeah. So whatever you want. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't have to be any real numbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The comedy of it, I agree, 5 out of 5.
Great.
Yeah.
This is the comediest film of all time.
It really is. So good. And then overall, I would have given it a 5 out of 5, but the creepy, cringy teen videoing. I can't.
Oh, so uncomfortable. So
I'm going to go 3 out of 5 as well.
Hell yeah.
Severe penalty for the creepiness of severe. Patrick Swayze. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Like, it upset me so, but then I was like, oh yeah, watch him die. Like, it made me so happy when he was dead. You know?
Why is he like, he's like making this sexy tape. And is he going to watch it on mute later? Oh. Is he going to edit it?
Hear yourself talking like that? Like, ugh.
Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe.
Really probably. Likes, he probably. Seems ego.
He really likes his own voice. I feel that. Ugh. Is there something you would change to bring that score up, Kyle? Outside of, you know, removing Swayze.
We wouldn't be watching it.
Yeah, I think just the creepy part, honestly. I would have liked to see more from Swayze. And I know that wasn't really what he was there for, but I still think it would have pushed him a little farther.
Sure.
Like couldn't Maggie Smith have met up with him at the rendezvous point, or like just like at the outside the rendezvous point and killed him there
and throw him off the bridge
or whatever, you know? Like, yeah. He doesn't need to be at the house being creepy. Like, he was already bad enough, and we knew he was a liar before that.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I agree with you, and this is also making me wonder, like. But like, we don't talk about Donnie Darko all the time because he's kind of a despicable character and you don't really remember him unless you've seen it a few times. Yeah. I feel like this character is like that, where he is, he plays a despicable person and you actually kind of dislike him a lot for it, and he's scuzzy and he fits the fucking role.
And the acting feels bad, but like, you know that he's doing that on purpose.
But yeah, and it's just like, yeah, he's nailing this horrible person. It makes me feel like, man, maybe Swayze was kind of made for those roles, because he makes me dislike him a lot. Think about
his first role, Ace.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah, he was a great villain in that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Swayze actually is a pretty good villain, and maybe he was underutilized in that situation.
Well, that's what makes Point Break so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Catherine Bigelow got him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right at his prime. Oh.
Got him.
Oh.
It's those like dossiers that she gets from the CIA.
Does Catherine Bigelow
gets CIA dossiers?
Yeah, you didn't know that Catherine Bigelow works for the CIA?
No, I didn't know this.
I mean, we'll come back to this. That seems right.
Okay.
We'll come back to this.
Her locker is a PSYOP.
Well, I knew that one. Yeah. I give this a 3.5 out of 5. I had a good time. Liked it. And I agree with you. Swayze's scuzzy. He's so scuzzy. And, you know, he could have been a better person.
Yeah.
But this was very 2005.
Yeah, sure
I don't think
was.
He could have been a better Overall. Person. I don't think he could have. I think he was just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't sound like he's a guy that I'd associate with or that I like. It just, like, the character, it was bad enough to make me want to see him die.
Yeah. And then he did, and I was like, sick.
Yeah.
Sick. Yep.
I would have honestly wish he was a little bit worse. Where maybe when he was having that conversation with Rowan Atkinson, like at the soccer game, if he was like more vulgar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he was like, yeah, or was I'm seeing your wife or whatever. I'm the golf pro or whatever. Like, he got even more shitty.
Yeah.
Like a few, just a couple more jabs.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, maybe not just like, oh yeah, I'm just fucking your wife. Like, actually like make fun of him and like try to belittle him and like make him even more villainous.
But he didn't fuck his wife yet. That's the part is like.
But why was he acting like he was?
Yeah.
The fuck?
I don't know.
I mean,
dude.
They were planning to go away to Mexico and they hadn't even slept together.
Whatever, dude. She likes the fantasy more than the reality of it. And he's just stringing her along to get the, you know.
Yeah.
Get the laid.
Yeah, get the little laid. Yeah.
The little laid.
And sometimes, like, watching through the whole movie, I go back and forth if Gloria actually wanted to go or not.
She never did. I think she literally just wanted to fuck. And as soon as that happened, she was like, we're good. Like, with Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
Once then she was over it.
Once she got bean boned, she was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just need that little bean in her.
I think she just like, yeah, she just like the fantasy of it. And like, how was she going to get away to Mexico? How could she do that?
Yeah.
How is that even possible? How did she afford that?
It was a flower arranging committee trip.
Well, she's expensing it.
through the parsonage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I was under the impression that Lance was paying for the entire thing, but
I just mean like it's not possible to arrange for it. Like, what's she doing? She doesn't have friends.
Yep. If she were to go, I feel like that would be the end of her marriage.
Sure. As well, it should be.
Yeah.
If she were to go.
Leave Mr. Bean with the Bean kids?
Yes, Mr. Bean is with the Bean kids. Well, this movie, since we watched it the last time, Josh, it has moved around a little bit.
In terms of ratings and reviews.
Yes, none of the money has moved around. This still was an estimated $1,609 to make.
What? How many? $1,609.
I said that incorrectly. My bad, bro. $169,000 to make this movie.
Dang.
That's a low budget.
Yeah. And it made $18.5 million worldwide.
Hot damn. The Bean of it all, bro.
Yeah. It made a lot of fucking money.
You guys want to see Mr. Bean get cucked?
Just kidding. He's going to fuck his wife.
Yeah. It made
her mom's gonna be like, fuck my daughter. Fuck her.
Yeah, she did and he did.
Hey, you know what? It made money. That's crazy. So everyone got paid.
It did make some money. Now, we didn't have a whole bunch of movement, but we did have a little, right? IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, their audience scores, and Amazon. Or, excuse me, Amazon's one of the ones that changed. But IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience score all are the same, right? Mm-hmm. 6.8 out of 10, 57% and 74%. But Letterboxd went up from 3.2 out of 5 to 3.3 out of 5. And whoa. Amazon switched from 4.6 out of 5 with a 70% 5-star and a 4% 1-star to a 4.5 out of 5, 76% 5-star, 6% 1-star. Whoa. So, yeah.
You said a bunch of numbers and none of them stayed in my brain.
They made sense to the audience. I assume that God bless.
Amazon went down because the 1-star went up.
I see. Okay.
And Letterboxd went up.
Thank you.
Because the 5-stars went up because this movie rules.
Because this movie rules.
Thank you. Thanks for helping me.
Yes.
I don't math.
There have been 12,000 people watching this on Letterboxd, and 490 of them reviewed it.
Wow.
Would you like to hear any of the reviews?
Did you have something like set aside?
No.
Oh, okay.
I can just read a few of them.
Your forte, of course.
3 out of 5 stars by Lena. Maggie Smith is allowed to do whatever she wants.
Honestly, yeah.
That should be a tagline for the movie.
Should be 5 out of 5 stars then.
No, she's just allowed to do whatever she wants.
3 out of 5 stars by Kyle. Absurd. Yeah. Absurdly British, but Patrick Swayze gets to play a himbo.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's real.
Yep, that is just a taste of those reviews over on Letterboxd. So if you want to check those out, do it yourself. We don't have an Ebert, Josh.
Wow.
But
no Ebert for this, huh?
You reviewed this as Ebert the last time we watched this. I don't have the review, but I have your score. Will you review this again for us, Josh?
As Roger Ebert.
This is insane.
My man, please help us out. How did Roger Ebert feel about this film?
Well, you know that he was not disturbed by the Patrick Swayze story angle. So
no, it wasn't.
Kyle said the movie would be perfect if it didn't have that. So... Roger Ebert. How does he talk? I forget how I used to do my impression. Was it David Lynch?
it was kind of Lynchian. Yeah.
Roger Ebert. I'm Roger Ebert. I've seen this film, Keeping Mum. This is how he talks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is actually feels good. Feels right.
This is very accurate.
I like Mr. Bean. Patrick Swayze, I could do without. What is the name of Bean Girl? Call me. 2.5 out of 4. It made him horny.
What? Mean Girls, call me. Please get that tattooed on you somewhere.
Roger Ebert's rating has gone up.
Ooh. Damn, he wasn't horny last time?
And apparently not enough. He was 1.5 wow. out of 4 last time and has gone up to 2.5 out of 4.
He must be sex starved from the movies, at least.
He must be sex starved. Josh,
what?
Should we take this down with the Swayze scale?
The Swayze rating method.
The Swayze rating method. Now, anyone who hasn't heard about this before, we've been compiling a list of the Swayziest qualities of film in our research.
Well, we finally locked it in like a year ago.
Yeah. So now we're just, you know, ranking it up. The last time we watched this, our Swayze scale, was different. So I am looking forward to some changes. Josh.
Okay.
How are we looking currently?
Well, Peepin's not on the scale anymore.
Correct.
Did you see any athletics? Just walk it through one by one.
There was a soccer game, bro.
Maggie Smith dragged a dead man into a pond.
There was golf, yes.
Athleticism.
I was wondering whether golf was athletic. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it to me, but...
I mean, it's not, but it is.
Yeah.
What was the first thing
you said? The children were bike riding.
Soccer is definitely athletics. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Maggie Smith.
Sport.
Dragging a dead man into a pond.
I don't know if it's athletic, but...
It's athleticism.
Okay. Damn. All right. Well, I mean, it gets to the point, dude. It says athletics here. I didn't write the list.
Yes, it did, bitch.
No, Vince typed these up and he got some of them wrong. Class stuff. I would say none because they live for free.
Yeah.
These people live for free. Yeah. They have a nanny in their house for no reason. Their kids are 12 and 17.
Housekeeper, yeah. I don't know.
I don't think there was any class.
No.
Dad stuff, though.
Lots of dad stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if there's lots, but there's a fair amount.
Yeah.
Actually, he doesn't do really any dadding at all.
No, which makes it dad's petty.
He might actually be a bad dad.
What do you mean? Explain why how he's bad.
He, like, neglected them.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, he let his son become a nerd?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And he was not, like, being, caring to mom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's dad stuff.
I mean, I'd say he's bad at it.
Yeah. He's bad at dadding, for sure.
Patrick Swayze, now that's daddy.
No, that's not.
It's a creepy uncle.
Remember when he's like, can we not use that word on Sundays? And his daughter's like, dad?
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
Ha, dad stuff.
I liked that.
Gender expression. How do we feel that Mr. Bean is a representation of positive masculinity in any sort of way? Because clearly Patrick Swayze is the toxic fuckboy.
I'm just surprised that not only is Rowan Atkinson the pinnacle of masculinity in this film, being, with laying the pipe and the emotional support he eventually offers.
Right.
Like, I did not know that I was going to be going in and having him be the desirable male, but it seems to be the case.
It's more, like, realistic than Randy Quaid.
It is honestly much more realistic than Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
It's not the most unrealistic love interest we've seen.
You have a great point. Both of you have a great point.
You guys don't like Randy Quaid?
Oh, I think he's sexy, but like he's clearly a bad boy.
We watched this fucking Leprechaun movie, dude, where he was the love interest, and like, I don't know. Mal and I wanted to throw up the whole time. I had a hard time with it. It was the most unbelievable part of the movie. We were watching literal fucking fairies, bro. Like,
and then
it
was... fell in a hole, and that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
He headbutted a horse.
Fuck that guy.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh, no horses in this movie.
No horses in this film. No horses,
scenario horse.
I kind of skipped past the gender's expressions. I don't know if I've... I don't know if he's like a positive masculine character, if he's just so neutral. Because I think he sucks real bad, honestly.
I think he's neutral at best.
Okay.
Swayze's got the bad stuff, but no one's really showing him how to be a good guy. It's just like, you can just fuck your wife and that's good enough.
Maybe just in conjunction, or not, compared to Swayze, I was like, oh, he must be good if he's not Swayze. So yeah, no, that's a great point.
Okay, so I don't know if I can give it the point, but what about feminism? Could we give it the bonus point for feminism?
Yeah, why not?
It did pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three generations of women just doing their thing.
Just murdering.
Just working together.
For it.
That's what I like to hear. I forgot about the bonus point for dancing. Did we want to give it that?
Did they dance?
I saw no dancing.
Nope.
No.
I don't think there was any dancing, Josh.
Nary horizontal dance. Tango. Okay. So we got a couple more things here. We got nudity, which it was present.
Yes.
Present. Road trip. We already agreed, since there was no footage of him traveling, that is not a road trip.
Yeah.
Correct.
Romance. Does it exist? Between Mr. and Mrs. Bean, I suppose.
I mean...
Was that romance?
I wouldn't say there was.
There was romance between Bean and God.
What about when he was reading his poem?
Oh, God.
Was that romantic to you guys?
Oh, when he's talking about her breast being blossoms and her tummy is wheat.
The Bible.
The Bible verses. Reading. Yeah.
Thinking about
that there's sex in the Bible.
Sexy Bible verses.
That he got from his fucking porn mother-in-law. Porn audiobook.
Yeah.
Not Mr. Bean.
Not romance, bro. No.
Porn audiobook Bean. No. Just because we didn't believe it doesn't mean it didn't exist, but I
you didn't want to see the Bean peen?
Oh, no. I did not. Okay, so we'll skip romance. How it's like whips. Not a single one, or was there one? I like the Lexus that Swayze was driving around in. Not bad.
I
think it counts as a sick whip, though.
I don't think it's necessarily sick.
What about that golf cart he was driving?
Yeah.
The sickest of whips.
There's an argument for a golf cart.
How about the train to America?
The train to America. I'm going to say no sick whips.
Dang.
No sick whips.
You guys, it's not coming up too strong. On our patented Swayze rating system, what have I got here? We've got athletics, we've got dad stuff, and we've got nudity with one bonus point for feminism, which is odd. So we've got
the movie, bro.
Three dead bodies in the pond plus one bonus dog. On the Swayze scale.
Nailed it, Josh.
I think we did.
I think you did. Now, we do have a few taglines before we wrap up. We have three of them. So what we're going to do is rate them. Thumbs up or thumbs down for each of them. Are you ready?
Yeah.
First one is, they took her in now. She's taking them out.
Can you reread that?
They took her in. Now they're taking, or she's.
No.
I can't read it again.
They took her in.
I can't read it again.
So now she's taking them out.
Yep.
She's taking them out. But it's mixing its.
No, it doesn't make
it's
sense.
It's mixing its pronouns. Like the they and the two theys are different people.
Yeah, I don't like it.
They took her in. Who took her in? The cops. But she's not taking the cops out. She took out.
No, he's talking about the family.
But she also wasn't
in.
Taking the family out. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
Number two is, some family secrets are best kept buried.
Thumbs up.
I mean, I'll give it a thumbs up, but it's like, none of the bodies are buried.
Buried's a loose term.
Oh, God. Best kept in the trunk. Yes. I don't know.
In the pond.
I think this is in German.
How'd you write something down that is in German and not know it?
Sie schwing ist silver, vergaben ist gold. Silence is silver, but burying is gold. It's number three.
Burying.
It was burying in a different language.
Burying secrets.
Babe, what?
I wrote it in a different language.
Vince has never once been inclined to speak German near me.
I'm a professional. I had to have all of them.
Okay. Wait. What?
What are you talking about?
Oh, you had to have all the taglines.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to have all the taglines.
Thumbs down. I don't speak German.
Thumbs down. Josh does not speak German. Yeah. That's all the taglines.
I guess it's the second one, then.
Second one it is.
The second one, the family secrets are best kept buried.
Yep.
That's the one. Everyone, this was keeping mom. This was quite a fun time.
It was.
I think this may be one of Swayze's most fun villains. If you haven't gotten that from this podcast, I hope you check it out. Josh, is there anything else we should say before we start doing plugs and stuff like that?
Dude, Patrick Swayze, He shouldn't be peeping.
Stop peeping, bro.
You know, I realized the other day that we didn't talk about what we learned at the end of last month.
Oh, should we go over what did we learn last month?
What was last month?
Countdown
month. Prequels and sequels month. It was the power of love. Was that was like?
I think that was it.
Yeah, I think that was it. It was the sleeper power of love month. Did you learn anything about love or counting or anything?
Star Wars ain't about love.
What are you talking about? It's about the lack of love.
It's about that kid being like, hey, you're my dad now. That guy being like, all right, I'm going to the store to buy some cigarettes and then dying immediately.
That is what that Star Wars is about.
It's not about love. So, next. What did we learn?
I don't know.
Sequels are good. Prequels are bad.
Sequels and prequels are good. They're fun, and you should check them out. And it doesn't the people making them. It doesn't ruin the things we already like. You know.
Oh, that's not what the description for Star Wars says.
What
it says it ruined our childhoods.
Oh,
everyone's not just you's minds, but that's the first Star Wars movie that ruined everyone's childhood.
Yeah, you know, like thinking back about it, like people said that The Matrix movie, the fourth one, we didn't need it, and that it sucked. And then they said that we didn't need a third Back to the Future movie, and that sucked. We didn't need a second RoboCop movie, and that sucked. And we didn't need a first Star Wars movie, and then that sucked. And guess what?
They were
all great. We loved them all.
Oh, wait, no. They were... Everyone was right, but also we liked them.
Yeah, we had a blast.
Well, it's, you know, the real power was the power of love, Vince.
Yeah. If you agree with us, write in at swayzpod@gmail.com. Josh is on Letterboxd @JoshuaCY. I'm on Letterboxd @VincentTroya. We're on all the social medias @SwayzePod. These ladies have stuff to promote. Joe, Kyle.
At Forest Oak Park. We have a bakery. When you listen to this, it will be open, basically.
No, totally. Come on.
It'll be open.
Basically, totally open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to make it
finally
open.
Finally
like, basically open.
Give us those baked goods.
Yeah, we'll give them to you for money. Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how goods and services work.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
You got anything outside of the thing that we only do?
Nope. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much our whole life.
Josh?
You know, I only do the one thing now, too.
Yeah?
Podston Dunstcast. It's live. Go find your Podston Dunstcast. You got a bonfire. Podston Dunstcast. You can find it on the podcast apps. Podston Dunstcast. It's a Kirsten Dunst podcast. Vince is on the second episode.
It's going to be great.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. This is lots of fun.
And me. I feel like I'm a regular now, though, so.
And me.
Yeah. It's yours.
And me.
You guys. You guys and your dads.
And me.
We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made.